So this is the fourth and final week of our series called Walls, the Process of Rebuilding. Just to recap, we took a break last week. We had life groups last week. So let me recap if you haven't been here the last 3 weeks. Week one, we talked about how sin breaks your walls, and we talked about how repentance starts the rebuilding. We talked about how Nehemiah repented for the tribe of Jerusalem so that they can start their new life with God and start to rebuild. Week two, we talked about how obedience starts the rebuilding, and it continues to start the rebuilding. I said in week two, Nehemiah did not just repent and then just went on with his life. He had a wall to rebuild. He had a city to defend. And so it's the same thing with us. We can't just repent and then not do anything after that. Now we have to obey what God has called us to do, or what God has told us to do in his word. Week three, we talked about how enemies threatened construction. And I talked about how there were some people in Nehemiah's life that were really wanting to distract him from rebuilding what God wanted him to rebuild. And I made the analogy of there are going to be some people in your life that aren't going to like what God's building in you. And you have to discern if God is really wanting you to bypass those thoughts or those people's opinions. I mentioned that counsel's good. I've mentioned last week counsel, or the week before, counsel's great. I have a lot of people in my life who give me tons of advice, but there's a difference between great counsel and God's complete word over you. So when you have a word from God and it's confirmed, I'm not saying you doubt it, like you know for sure God said it, you have to run with that. So we talked about that in week three, how people can have opinions about how God's rebuilding your life, but God is the one rebuilding your life, not people. So for week four, we're going to end it here with Nehemiah chapter 6. Verses 15 through 16. This is the final part of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 15. So on October 2nd, another translation says the month of, I think it's Iyul, that's how they said it back in biblical times. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. Another translation says they lost their self-confidence. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Nehemiah realized that he started the journey. He started with the repentance. He started with the rebuilding. But only God could finish the rest. Only God could finish the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So tonight's title for the last week, what you start, God finishes. If you want to write that down, if you're taking notes, what you start, God finishes. Have you ever had this moment in your life where like you try to either read a series of books or watch seasons of shows or even play through a video game and you couldn't finish it or you couldn't get to the end result? I remember a lot of when I was younger, I didn't really know, obviously, how to play. I play a lot of good video games now. But I never used to know how to play video games when I was a kid. So I never finished any video game ever in my life until I was an adult. But with TV shows or even books, I have a very hard time finishing a TV show like seasons. Like, especially if it's like 11 to 12 to 13 seasons, you know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of seasons that you got to finish. And me and my wife, we've been watching this TV show. And sometimes we'll watch it until late and then I'm exhausted, but she's staying up watching the show and she's a few episodes ahead of me. And in my head, I'm like, man, you don't go too far. I still want to, you know, watch it. But she'll tell me like, hey, just go rewatch the shows and then you can just catch up with me. You don't have to worry about, you know, trying to explain. But the funny thing was that I had her explain every single episode. Like she'll be eight episodes ahead and I have about a 20-minute sermon from my wife talking about the show and what's been going on. So the funny thing is that I've been wanting to watch this show for a while. And first three seasons, it's about 11 seasons. We watched the first three seasons. It was fantastic. It was great. I was hooked. But once we got to 4, 5, and 6 and it feels a little too long. And I'm having a very hard time staying in the show because it feels like a long time. And for some of us, it feels like God is taking a long time with our walk. And we feel like these walls should be built now, but they're really not all the way of what we want it to be. And it's the same thing with the show. I could not watch until season 6. And now I think right now I'm like 8 episodes behind, nine episodes behind. And probably tonight I'm just going to tell Sarah, like, hey, babe, I just tell me what's been going on the show. I don't want to try to watch all this. I'm busy at work. I can't really watch in the afternoon. Just recap for me. But how defeating is it when you feel like you cannot finish the rebuilding? Or oftentimes we feel like God's not in it because of how slow it is, or how slow the process is in our life. Because a lot of us are expecting God, or expecting ourselves, which is a perfectionist thing, to be at 100% the moment we get saved, or the moment we have a radical change in our life. That if this is going to change, then everything else is going to change in an instant. And the disappointing thing about that type of belief is that it's not that case. And a lot of people believe that everything gets better and great all at once you receive Christ. And that's true to an extent. It's true to an extent because there's a lot of other things in your life that are layers that God is also dealing with through your Christian walk, through your walk with God. It's not all instant. Some things are instant. There's been people I've talked to multiple times about how they've been radically set free from drugs, from porn addictions, from all this stuff. But there are other little habits that they didn't know were stopping their rebuilding in their life. And they thought, I thought I was saved. I thought I was born again. I thought I was made new. You are made new. You are made new in the spirit, but you're not made new in your flesh. You still have habits that are naturally in your brain physically, but spiritually you're made new. Spiritually you're made whole again. Spiritually you're set free. But with this, it's a very different concept. Many of us struggle to finish with what we start with. And it's no surprise that we get discouraged when it seems like God isn't present or visible. But I want to encourage you with this. What you start with, God finishes. But what I mean by that is, I'm not just talking about whatever you do and you start, even if it's evil, God finishes. God doesn't finish evil. God doesn't finish things that are not of Him. But when you involve God, when you are influenced by the Holy Spirit, when you are rebuilding a repentive life, when you are giving your life up to Christ, when you start that, God will finish it. And sometimes we feel like God might have forgotten us, or He has moved on to someone else. And a lot of the times we often think that God is like us. Oftentimes we think God thinks like us. So when we are the mess up, when we are the screw up, when we are the dysfunctional, we assume God has moved on. But God is not like us. He is faithful to finish what He started in us. Maybe you feel defeated of your walls not being rebuilt in your life because of the things you keep doing, or the thoughts you keep having, or the fear or the shame you're carrying every day that should be brought up to the Lord because He paid for that. So tonight I want to talk about that, because I want you to realize what you started with your repentive life, with the obedience, God will finish it. But the question is, how do you endure the process of rebuilding when we can't see God well? Well, let's talk about it. So back to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated, and they realized that the work had been done with the help of our God. After all of the difficulty and the hard work, the walls were finally rebuilt. God used Nehemiah to restore the defenses of the city. If God can use Nehemiah for that, He can use you too for your life. Not only were the walls and protection of the lives that were rebuilt with this, but His enemies, in verse 16, they were humiliated. Another translation says that they had a lack of self-confidence. It's raining. They had a lack of self-confidence. And the funny thing is that the same people that tempted Nehemiah, listen up, the same people that tempted Nehemiah to stay away from him, or to stay away from the rebuilding, are the same people, once he was done, were humiliated. The ones that saw that they were wrong. The funny thing is that God will put to shame the people in your life who are against you by showing up with power in your life. When you see the people that are against you, that's why you don't have to retaliate. I talked about that in week 3. That's why you don't have to egg it on. That's why you don't have to respond. Because everything goes under the Lord, and He is willing to fight for you. And that's what God always does. God's vengeance is His. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, which means you taking revenge is not the right way. I will handle it. That's what the Lord is saying. And the funny thing is that in His timing, He'll handle it. But the funny thing is that I'm guessing Nehemiah assumed that God would handle it at the time he was starting to build it, or when that all that stuff happened. But God did not show the shame to those people until Nehemiah finished the wall. And the funny thing is that you won't have that sweet victory from the people that have doubted you or have condemned you of those things until you have completed the walk. Until you have completed, not being perfection, not being to the point where Christ is just there. But what I'm saying is that He will put to shame the people in your life when you reach that point. God is willing to finish what you started. What you start, God finishes. Ephesians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." God has started a great work in rebuilding our walls and making us into the image of Jesus. What He started, what you started with, is what you're going to finish with, because God finishes it. There's a lot of things in our life that we think we finish, but a lot of the times we don't. A lot of the times we do not finish the things that we have started. Think of all of the things in your life that you started off with a passion for, that you started off head on and it was fantastic and you were really going at it and it was really, really good. And everything you were doing was in purpose and you were doing great, but you thought you could finish it on your own. You thought you could finish it by yourself without any help or nothing. A lot of the times, I've even seen this in leaders. I've seen this in people of influence and leadership, that they do stuff on their own and they finish things on their own without telling anyone, even of their team. And what happens is that they fall and take the blame. Nobody else is a part of it. They are the only ones that take the blame for the fall. Because when you start something, you can't finish it by yourself. You can have the vision for it, but if you don't have people in your corner, like I said, not the people who have condemned you, but the people who are fighting for you and willing to walk with you in it, just like Nehemiah had with God and the people of Jerusalem, you are able to finish it. But if you're by yourself, it won't happen. What God finished, you have started. Here's the bottom line. God will finish what He started. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure hardship, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us." Just like Oriana said in her nugget, we have to endure that hardship. We have to endure the drowning moment. Even though God gives us floaties, even though God gives us something so small that really isn't as of a big of a benefit how we think, because we think God can do better. But the funny thing is that God is giving you exactly what you need in the season that you're in the time that you're at. And you have to now learn how to survive with what God gave you. Because what you started with, God will finish. But in the in-between, God has given you the equipment, the ability, the power to do that, the power to understand, the power to be set free. And it's a great promise for us in 2 Timothy for us to endure hardship. Rebuilding our walls is a long process, but God is teaching us slowly how to walk with Him, depend on Him. And as we grow with Him, we rebuild the brokenness together. Because this journey is long, we need good endurance. God gives us hope that there is a great reward for our endurance. See, you coming to youth or you coming to church, if that's the only piece of bread of life that you obtain, you're never going to finish what you started. If you are expecting me, this dude, to do all of the spiritual work for you, you will never finish what you started. You will never finish it. You can have great accountability. You can have great people in your life. But if you don't decide to actually walk with God on your own, people will give you the boost, but you got to walk. You have to walk it. If you don't walk it, you'll never finish it. If you don't learn to walk with God, your life won't be meaningful. There will be no benefit to you. God gives us life. Why are you not taking or receiving from the one that gives you life? If all you get from it is church, if all you get from it is just this, then you are missing about, I would say, 95% of what God has for you. You're missing about 95% of what God has for you. If all you think is going to church, reading verse of the day, is going to benefit your walk with Jesus. Look, verse of the day is great. Praying for a little bit is great. That's all normal to your Christian walk. But if all you're doing is small portions for Him, then you're not going to finish what you started. You will never finish it. So I believe God's challenging us tonight as we close it, as we end this series. The way that the rebuilding happens is that you have to involve Him in it. A lot of believers have this spiritual high moment where all of the repentance, all of the spiritual goosebumps, all of this stuff is happening and it's filling their soul. But the moment they go through hardship or the moment they go through temptations, when they go through traumatic things, when they go through stuff in life that we thought God promised to keep safe from, but where in His word has He said He would protect us from tribulation? Nowhere. Jesus said you would have tribulation, you will have trials, you will have heartache, you will have issues. So you walk through this life and then all of a sudden you go down and you don't involve God in your walk anymore. Here's what happens. I'm going to tell you what happens. You become spiritually dead. What I mean by that is that you are gone spiritually. You have no fruit coming out of your life. All you have is a titled name. All you have is a name. Oh, I'm a Christian. That's all you are. A disciple? I don't know. Are you willing to take correction, even when you don't like it, to grow in your faith? If not, you might just be a Christian. What about a child of God? Do you know your identity and who He is? Do you know who He is in your life? Do you know who God is? If you don't know that either, you might just be a Christian. You might just be someone who takes the title but doesn't live the life. Doesn't walk it out. There's a plethora of things that I can jump into. But to keep it in a nutshell, walking this life by yourself, thinking that the title just gets you places, you're not going to make it. You're not going to survive. This Christian life is full of trials, full of stuff that God is placing you smack in the middle of. Some of you are going to have some things in your life that are going to change the way you see things. Some of y'all are going to get your hearts broken. Some of you are going to have a lot of friends leave you. You're going to have things in your life that you are going to be so crippled by. And that comes with the title. So if all you have is the title, which that's what it comes with, Jesus said they would hate you because of me. So if people hate you because you love God, that means you're doing something right. It means you're walking it out. You're walking through with Christ. But if all you have is a title and nothing else but a Bible that sits somewhere in your house, you don't talk to God, you don't spend time with Him. I'm not talking about just praying some ritualistic prayer. I'm talking about talking with the one who wants to spend time with you. Somebody who genuinely wants to have a relationship with you through His Word and through you praying to Him. And you worshiping Him. Surrendering your life to Him. As a willing sacrifice. Romans 12:2 says that. Being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We that's what we're supposed to be. But if all we have is a title, all of America would be saved. All of the world would be saved if we just had the title. But not everyone has the title, do they? Some people genuinely go deeper than the name of being a Christian. It's not just a title, it's an identity. And if all you're doing is going on your own, not involving God, you won't finish what you started. Only God will finish what you started. And like I said the week before, don't get tired of doing what is right. Don't give up hope. Doing the right thing is difficult, but God will rebuild you and reward you for the faithfulness of endurance. So to close, this is how you apply this. Endure the hardship and trust God, for He will finish what He started. What you have began, there's a scripture that says, He who began a good work in you will complete it. He began the good work in you, and you started to walk this out. It started. Only He can complete that. Only He can make perfection out of something broken. Only He can do that. But that question is, how much are you allowing Him to? How much are you really opening your arms up to? Because He, let me tell you something, God is not like people. He doesn't just say hi, hello, and then walks the other way on the sidewalk. God is a vulnerable, intentional God. He wants to see you where you are, where you're at. He's not just going to tell you hi and walk the sidewalk. He's going to pull you to the side and say, how are you doing? Really? What's going on? Let's rebuild these things in your life. God is not like people who just brush what's going on in your life to the side. Like I said in the beginning, God's not like people. God is not like others that brush people to the side. He is the one that will endure with you even when you fail others. Let me clarify this. Some of you have failed people and you carry guilt from failure. You carry guilt from feeling like you have failed someone that you were working for. And you feel like you failed someone. You failed them. That's probably the ringtone in your head. You failed them. Imagine this. You have failed God greater than this person, and He's still walking with you. He's still right by your side, walking with you, rebuilding those walls, getting your life together. He wants to do that. When everybody else walks and leaves and has a different mind about it, God is right there walking with you. Feels like He's the only one really beside you sometimes. Somebody said this and it's so true. Jesus, like literally, He's literally the only person that knows what you're going through. And this is why I say this. There could be two types of people that had the same experience, but even that person that had the same experience as you does not relate to you greater than Jesus. Like Jesus genuinely knows what it feels like. You know, separation from the Father, that, you know what that feels like? Failure. God separated Himself from His Son. What does that feel like? Failure. I'm not saying maybe Jesus didn't feel that way because He knew the purpose. But if you feel like you failed someone, Jesus experienced that through being separated from Him because He was all sin. That's what He was on the cross. He was full of sin, but He was perfect. But His Father separates Himself from Him. What does that feel like? To me, that feels like I failed my Father. That's what I would experience, Jesus would have experienced. So everything you've gone through, Jesus understands it completely. Why? Because look, there are people that might have had the same experience as you, and maybe they've walked through that, and maybe they can give you some advice. Some of it doesn't work for you. Some of it doesn't just click with you because you're in the middle of something. God, Jesus, when I say Jesus knows exactly what you're going through, He's not just going to shoot holy advice. You understand what I'm saying? He's not just going to shoot holy advice at you for Him to use that as a spiritual bypass to negate or just destroy what's going on with you. A lot of us do that. A lot of us spiritually bypass. What do I mean? I mean, we use spiritual terms to destroy what we're feeling and what's really going on in our life. We use spiritual terms like, oh, God's got it. God's going to figure it out for you. You've got this. But it don't feel that way. It does not feel that way sometimes, does it? We tell ourselves that because the moment of really feeling and grieving what's going on in our life, we use a spiritual bypass to say, all glory to God. All glory to Him. We know that. He is glorious. He is wonderful. He is mighty. But right now in this moment, you don't feel that way. What's going on in your life, you do not feel that in you. You know it. You understand it here. But something in your body is telling you something. It's like, no. Why? I don't get it. And that's where we have to act like David, where in Psalms he says he cried out to the Lord. The crying out wasn't just his spirit. It was his soul and body that cried out to the Lord. His soul and body. That means he gave his whole body to cry out to God. That means David felt something so uncomfortable that he had to cry out to God, God, where are you? You can read it in Psalms. Multiple times has David said, God, where are you? God, my enemies surround me. God, this is happening. I need your help. Where are you? I cannot feel you. I cannot see you. Yet he knew. David was a man after God's own heart. Why would a man after God's own heart want to call out, God, where are you? Why? He knew it, but he didn't feel it. That's where you need to cry out to him. What you start with, God finishes. But you have to go through that rebuilding. It took them 50, what was it? Put up verse 16 or verse 15, I'm sorry. Verse 15. It took them 52 days. It didn't take them a day. It didn't take them 3 hours to build this wall. This is the city of Jerusalem we're talking about. It took them 52 days. And these are just walls. This is stuff that's not going to really crumble. They had some really nice brick walls to protect Jerusalem. Imagine you, us, we're actually more broken than the walls of Jerusalem. And it takes a long time to be rebuilt. Why are you expecting God to do it in a day? When the development of your life through Jesus is in a slow process. And we'll never be perfect until Christ comes and gets us or we meet Him. We will never be perfect. We will never be that righteous. But the beautiful part of what Jesus did on the cross is that we're made righteous through Jesus. That means there's nothing you have done, nothing you can do that can make the righteousness better or worse. Because of your faith in Jesus, you are made righteous. You are made perfect in His eyes. The beautiful part of that is that there is no effort. Yes, you need to live the fruit of your life. Don't just say, God has forgiven me, and then you live a sinful life and is disobedient. That's no. That you are disproving God's salvation in your life. You're disproving that He did not really die for you when you live that way. But this shows us that you walking through this grace mindset, knowing that because He has given me the freedom to be free from this stuff, I'm going to live for Him. The fruit will produce in my life. The rebuilding. You have to repent for the rebuilding to happen. You have to stay in obedience for the rebuilding to keep going. You have to be very, very careful when people talk in your life about God rebuilding your life. Because not everybody's going to get it. Nobody is God. And then finally, you have to understand what you started with, He'll finish it. The only way for it to finish is through Him. Nobody else. You can't do it. Your parents can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Only God, when you involve Him, can rebuild those walls, can finish what you started. Endure the hardship, trust God, and He will finish what He started. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Joe, can you hit the lights for me, please? Or Alex got it. Sorry. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, you need to focus. You need to focus upon the Lord right now, because some of you in this room have not involved God in anything. Maybe you got saved because your parents took you to church. You received Christ when you were younger. Or maybe you just received Christ and now you were on this power wave of just loving Him and hating sin and all this stuff. But as you grew up, as you continue to mature, and as you continue to grow, there were things that hit your life where you asked the question, God, where are you? Either you dismissed it and just stuffed it, or you walked away from Him because of it. Let me encourage you tonight. If that's you, I challenge you tonight. You need to confront God. You need to confront God. Not in a bad way. He knows where you're at. He sees where you're at. He wants to hear you cry out to Him because He knows what's going on in your life. He cannot finish what you don't involve Him in. He cannot finish the work in your life if you're not allowing Him to work on you. The cost of God working on you takes vulnerability and being open. Vulnerability means that you are willing. This is the definition of vulnerability. Vulnerability is you telling someone something that you wouldn't normally tell others. Something that you tell someone that you don't normally tell other people. That's vulnerability. Something that you trust this person well enough to tell them. That's what it takes with the Lord. It takes vulnerability. That means you have to talk to God about those things that you do not tell anyone else. Why? Because He knows already, number one. But number two, He knows it already and sees you where you are. Seen, understood, heard. Wants to walk with you. And He knows everything about your life. The beautiful thing about God is that He knows everything that you've done or will do in your life. And yet there is still a walking alongside you that He wants to do. You know how many people that you might know in your own head that would walk away if they knew the stuff that you have done, or the stuff that you do, or the stuff that you might do. And the people that have walked away. Why? Because people's love and perspectives of others are conditional. But God, the Bible says that God's love is unconditional. What does that mean? That doesn't mean God doesn't have boundaries when we sin. That doesn't mean God doesn't have things where he has to put things in order. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he does these things because he loves you. You can't grow as a believer if you're not allowing God to work on you. Because you started the journey. You started watching those seasons. And once you got to season 5, 6, 7, it's uninteresting anymore. Why? Maybe because of the things that you've seen or the things that have been done in your life that have hurt you or bothered you. And now you walk away from the fact. You walk away from that life because you felt like God wasn't in it. I challenge you to revisit that. I challenge you in this moment to revisit what you thought God wasn't in. Because let me tell you something right now. God is willing to show you that he was. He's willing to show you that he was there. So in this moment, just with your head bowed and your eyes closed, talking with the Lord, just ask God, Lord, I want to invite you back. I want to invite you back into what I started with. Lord, I started with being born again, a new life. But this is a long walk. It's been more than 52 days. It's been a few years. And this walk is heavy, and I have not involved you in it. Lord, just I allow you back in, Lord. I become vulnerable in this moment for you to work on me. Lord, work on me. Because what I have started, I know you will finish it. Just like your word says in Nehemiah, Lord, where we could not do this without the help of our God. Without the help of our King, without the help of our Savior. So Lord, let us remind ourselves what you have done and what you're going to do, even if we haven't seen it yet, even if it hasn't come into fruition yet. We pray that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that we will see your goodness shine. Just as we've seen it before, over and over and over in the past. Lord, we just pray that as we started this journey, or we've started this walk, or we've started this healing, or we've started, Lord, this new way of thinking, Lord, I pray that you will finish what we started. That you will finish what you have put within our hearts. When we started to trust in you. And Lord, for those that have left you or maybe have forgotten about you and only hold the title, I pray that you would welcome them. That you would invite them. That you would show them you. And Lord, that you would open up to them as you always do. Lord, I pray that you would welcome them back in. And Lord, as the walls of Jerusalem become complete in our life, I pray that we would continue to watch over Jerusalem, our life. That we would watch over these walls with your help, the Holy Spirit. And that as the walls are complete and as the rebuilding is done, that we don't stop there. That we continue to live this life for you and you alone as we surrender our whole life to you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And we appreciate and honor the fact that you were willing to rebuild the walls in our life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.